Johnny Mack with your daily comedy news. Packed one today, really packed show. We'll start with Joe Biden telling some jokes. This was at the White House Correspondents' Dinner. Joe Biden said a special thanks to the 42% of you who actually applauded. I'm really excited to be here tonight with the only group of Americans with a lower approval rating than I have. This is the first time the president has attended this dinner in 6 years. It's understandable. We had a horrible plague followed by 2 years of COVID. Just imagine if my predecessor came to this dinner this year. Now, that would have been a real coup if that occurred. Like what you did there, Joe. Trevor Noah is great. When I was elected, he did a show and he called me America's new dad. Let me tell you something, pal. I'm flattered anybody would call me a new anything. You're my guy. There's only one reason why it's so great to be here again. Everyone at the White House is so excited. I told my grandkids and Pete Buttigieg they could stay up late to watch the show tonight. I know there are questions about whether we should gather here tonight because of COVID. Well, we're here to show the country that we're getting through this pandemic. Plus, everybody had to prove they're fully vaccinated and boosted. So if you're home watching this and you're wondering how to do that, just contact your favorite Fox News reporter. They're all here, vaccinated and boosted, all of them. Fox News, I'm really sorry your preferred candidate lost the last election. To make it up to you, I'm happy to give you my chief of staff so we can all tell Sean Hannity what to say every day. Look, I know this is a tough town. I came to office with an ambitious agenda, and I expected to face stiff opposition in the Senate. I just hoped it would be from Republicans. Republicans seem to support this one fella, Brandon. He's having a really good year. Trevor Noah was the MC. He spoke to the White House press correspondent, said, "You guys spent the last 2 years telling everybody about the importance of wearing masks and avoiding large indoor gatherings. Then the second someone offers you a free dinner, you all turn into Joe Rogan." I know a lot of you are worried, and yeah, it's risky making jokes these days. We all saw what happened at the Oscars. I've actually been worried about that tonight, I won't lie. What if I make a really mean joke about Kellyanne Conway and her husband rushes up on the stage and thanks me? That's great. What I like about Ron DeSantis is if Trump were the original Terminator, DeSantis is like the T-1000. You're smarter than him, you're slicker than him, you can walk down ramps. Trump said he won the election, but everybody was able to look at his numbers and see he was wrong. That's why Ron DeSantis is one step ahead. First you ban the math textbooks, then nobody knows how to count the votes. These jokes are so good. Some people think this dinner shows that the media is too cozy with politicians. What those people don't understand is that you guys have integrity. You'd never allow your personal connections to affect your ability to be good journalists. Isn't that right, Chris Cuomo? Hey, where is Chris Cuomo, by the way? Trevor spoke to Chuck Todd and said, "How you doing? I'd ask a follow-up, but I know you don't know what those are." Trevor then compared Fox News to Waffle House. It's relatively normal in the afternoon, but as soon as the sun goes down, there's a drunk lady named Janine threatening to fight every Mexican who comes in. And he joked about inflation, telling Joe Biden, "Ever since you come into office, things are really looking up. Gas is up, rent is up, food is up, everything." Fantastic. I enjoy the heck out of those jokes. Hey, you know who was at the White House Correspondents' Dinner? Pete Davidson, obviously. I don't know either. I don't. Kim and Pete were at this thing. $350 a seat. I'm sure Kim's got that kind of money. Trevor commented on it and said, "We should have known something was wrong when Dr. Fauci thought it was too dangerous to attend the event while Pete Davidson thinks it's okay." Meanwhile, via Deadline, Pete Davidson showed up at Dave Chappelle's show at the Netflix Festival on Thursday night. Pete joked on stage that Kanye said Pete has AIDS. Pete said he was momentarily convinced it was true because the rapper's a genius. He recalled seeing a basketball game back in December when he was seated between Jon Stewart and Chris Rock. He referred to that time as the before time before life was over. At his own show, Pete was on stage with Machine Gun Kelly. I'll talk about that tomorrow. There is some Dave Chappelle news. The Board of Zoning Appeals of Miami Township have approved the property zoning variance requested by the pavilion owner to host Dave Chappelle's summer shows. Chappelle and his team plan to conduct up to a maximum of 24 shows between May 26th and September 5th. I shared with you some of the rules last week, but the rules amuse me for some reason. Shows will not be held on Sundays, except when there's a three-day holiday weekend with the holiday resting on a Monday. What that means is the Sundays of May 29th, July 3rd, and September 4th. Let me translate for everybody. Memorial Day weekend, Labor Day weekend, July 4th weekend. We've now learned the application further details seating capacity, hours of operation, parking information, sound system use, and vendors. Here are the rules. The hours of operation begin at 5 p.m. for parking. Gates to the pavilion open at 7:30. So, you know, you pull up 5 o'clock and you sit there for 2.5 hours. I guess you're tailgating? All shows will be completed by 11 p.m. Sunday through Thursday. But on Fridays and Saturdays, you guys can go until midnight. These shows will have no more than 1,000 ticketed patrons. A maximum of 200 patron cars will be parked on the property. The remaining patrons will be bused to the pavilion from local parking areas. A maximum of 4 local food trucks will be at the venue. The application said, while Mr. Chappelle could be conducting shows at mass theaters around the world, he would like to conduct this limited string of shows to further honor his community and continue the positive impacts to Miami Township and the surrounding area through the additional economic benefits and national attention. Bad news for Steve Carell, Space Force has been canceled. First of all, it's on Netflix. Everything gets canceled. Second of all, Space Force, it just wasn't good. And the second season came and went, man. Netflix, guys, you got to stop with the binge model. It doesn't work. Look at the other streamers. Stuff picks up over time. Space Force got posted. I was busy that weekend or whatever day it came on. And you guys haven't even put it in front of me since. I forgot it existed. I haven't seen season 2. Have you? No, you haven't. No one has. Stop with the binge model. The news comes after Netflix attempted to creatively reboot the pricey comedy in season 2, moving the production from LA to Vancouver to reduce the budget. No quotage from any of the principals involved with that, but Space Force, it's gone, and are you going to miss it? You're really not. Chris DiStefano has a new special on Netflix today. Now, why this is interesting, 3 weeks ago, Chris said he was going to self-produce and self-release his stand-up special and release it on his YouTube page. He made a last-minute pitch to Netflix, and they bought it. So that's out on Netflix today. The New York Post caught up with Chris DiStefano. They asked him a whole bunch of random things, one of which was about the subject of parenting and, I guess, being a good liberal. DiStefano said, once you have children, you realize it's exhausting to try and pull down a statue of Teddy Roosevelt. I'd rather just teach my kids the good things he did and the bad things he did, and we can just go take a walk in Central Park. I feel like people need to start having sex again and start having more kids because I'm exhausted as a parent. I don't have the energy to make a difference. Now people want to delay having kids till they're 50. That's your right, but the byproduct of that is now you want to rip down statues. Like, stop, dude. Go feed your kid. One of my friends who's like woke, he was like, I can't believe you're not coming to the protest. I was like, dude, you're going Wednesdays at 3:00. At that point, I was doing Zoom swim classes with my daughter. We were filling up a bathtub. I support the cause, but I can't go, dude. You can go because all you do is have 3 cats. He talked about AOC and said, I had tweeted Biden should just make AOC the head of the CIA because nobody's looking through phones like Puerto Rican women. You got to see the women in my family. They're all up in my phone. And some white guy, Ryan, I think he's from Idaho, is like, the tweet is so offensive. I was like, dude, shut up. Go eat a potato. He talked about Andrew Cuomo. First of all, I've never seen someone go from hero to zero quicker than effing Cuomo. Like, do Italian people get handsy and kiss a lot? Sure. My father might try to kiss Derek Jeter on the lips, but he's not going to try to kiss some random girl who works for him. He discussed New York sports team tattoos. If you're over 40 and you have a New York sports logo tattooed on your body, I know one thing and one thing only. You're divorced, because there's no way your wife is going to let you do that, and it's grounds for divorce if you do it. Now, that being said, I was at the Yankee game the other day, and they put me up on the Jumbotron, and I bombed. Nobody clapped, but whatever, that's beside the point. If I said Anthony Rizzo and Aaron Judge proved to me that they watched my comedy special, I'll get the Yankees logo tattooed on my lower back, and I'm a man of my word. And he talked about cancel culture, saying if you go out and cancel someone, you better be squeaky effing clean, because when that light gets shown back on you, you're going to see some dirt. Hey, big shout out to Dan, who listens at work every day, and I felt so bad. I was going through my inbox, and I was like, oh, I should check the spam folder. Poor Dan had emailed me a month ago, and it got caught up in spam. I'm sorry, Dan. I sent Dan a note on the side. Hopefully we can continue to be email friends, but I felt awful. So thank you, Dan, for listening. Bill Murray went on CNBC, of all places, and he addressed the complaints from the set of Being Mortal, that's the Aziz Ansari-directed movie. Bill Murray said there was a difference of opinion with a woman he was working with that led to the complaint and production pause. Bill Murray said, I did something I thought was funny, and it wasn't taken that way. Netflix, That 90s Show, it'll bring back 5 of the 6 main cast members from That 70s Show. The guy who won't be on it is Danny Masterson. The Hollywood Reporter reminds us Masterson has been accused by multiple women of sexual assault, lawsuits pending, but the rest of the main cast will be on That 90s Show. Now, don't forget, it's Netflix. Let me guess, 2 seasons and then they'll cancel it? We'll check back in 2 years and we'll find out Johnny Mac is right. Let's see who's at the Netflix comedy special tonight. Open up my bookmark. 7:00, Chappelle. 7 o'clock, 85 South shows. 7 o'clock, Fonda and Tomlin. 7 o'clock, Seth Rogen's Table Reads. 7 o'clock, David Spade, Dana Carvey doing their podcast. Jimmy O. Yang at 7. Nate Bargatze at 7. Christina P. at 7. Boy, this is great. Made in Canada at 7:30. Luenel at 7. 8 o'clock, Mulaney. 8 o'clock, Neil Brennan. 9:30, Nick Swardson. 9 o'clock, Sam Morrill and Friends. Roast Battle, late. And Aziz Ansari, late. Let's play my favorite game. What if we were at the comedy festival? What would we go see? Now, if you've never seen Chappelle, go see Chappelle. Nate Bargatze is a good call for the 7 o'clock show. Jimmy O. Yang would be a good call. But again, I'm a weirdo with the comedy festivals. I like to go see the offbeat shows. I would go see Made in Canada at 7:30. I can understand if you think I'm insane. Sophie Buddy, Jerry D, Ian Bagg, Harlan Williams, and some others on that list. Then you would go to a late show because you would have missed Mulaney at 8. I think at 9 o'clock I'd hit the Sam Morrill show. Brian Monarch, Sam Morrill, and more at the Improv. Those are my choices. But again, if you don't get to do this and you go see headliners, totally get it. The LA Times caught up with Luenel, who's at the Improv at 7 o'clock tonight. The question, do you have a favorite place to do comedy? The answer, I have lots of family in Texas. So whenever I go to Texas to do comedy, it ends up being a whole thing. My nieces come, my sisters come, somebody's cooking, I might stay an extra day. I also love to do comedy in Las Vegas. I feel like at one point, people thought you go to Vegas when you're in our last leg, but I'm honored to be performing in Las Vegas when only 50 years ago, we couldn't even stay in the hotel we were performing at. And I love the gaudiness of Las Vegas. I love everything about it. I love the people passed out drunk in the hallways. I love the sadness of it. I love to go jewelry shopping in the pawn shops because people get out there, get the fever. Next thing you know, they pulled out grandma's wedding ring and now I got it. Hey, Luenel, pro tip. When you're talking to the LA Times about a comedy festival in LA, you might want to say, Los Angeles audiences are the best. They're really sharp. They know comedy really well. So I like to give them my best because blah, 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 blah. Might want to do that next time. Pro tip. And that's your comedy news for today. You can follow the show for free on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Overcast, wherever you get your shows. If you would like to support the show, you can go to buymeacoffee.com/dailycomedynews. This one's got about 10% left. I'm going to need a new one pretty soon. Or become a premium subscriber on Apple Podcasts. Go to that app and they'll stick the option under your nose. You get early releases and those releases are ad-free. See you tomorrow.